My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'll help us, Lord, as we take a look at the precious words that you gave to Moses to give to us. And Lord, thank you, dear Lord, for what we can learn from them this morning. This is Moses' last words. This is his song. Lord, I pray, dear God, as we consider the verses of these songs, of this song, Lord, that you'll minister to our hearts. And may we be reminded, Lord, of your greatness, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Moses here in Deuteronomy chapter number 31, 32, Moses was at the end of his life. He was old. His body was worn out and his strength had abated. He spoke these words to the nation of Israel on his 120th birthday. I just saw J.R. Weddle back there. J.R., I am so happy to see you in church. Wow. I'm not going to be able to shake your hand afterwards. I don't want to give you what I got, but it's a blessing to have you here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Woo. 120th birthday. He spoke these words on his 120th birthday. We know that by reading Deuteronomy 31:2. I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. And I kind of stopped and had a praise fit when I read that because I thought, here, I'm moaning about being 60. I'm only half of Moses' age. Praise God, I'm a young guy. Moses was told by God to put his personal affairs in order. Then Moses, alone in his tent, took pen and parchment and scratched out, by the way, under divine inspiration, his last words, his last exhortations, his last testimony. In the closing chapters of Deuteronomy, we find the ancient words that he pinned down. If we were to go back and look in chapter 31, he appoints the next great leader of the people. He announces Joshua as God's choice. He then gives specific counsel to Joshua. We find the words that he spoke to this faithful, faithful servant in verse 7 and 8 of chapter 31. Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord had sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Later in chapter 31, Moses instructs the priests and the Levites. He tells them to place the book of the law into the law of God, into the Ark of the Covenant. And by the way, he tells them to do that for a reason. He warns them of the of a coming apostasy that will befall Israel. He instructs them to protect the law of God, to make sure that it's always there to bear witness against the sins of the coming generations. That's chapter 31. We jump over to chapter 33, and Moses then takes time to bestow a blessing upon each of the 12 tribes of Israel. One by one, he names them, and one by one, he blesses them. He ends the blessing with these words for all of the tribes of Israel. Deuteronomy 33, 26 through 29. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who writeth upon the heaven in thy help and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also, his heaven shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is likened to thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? Thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. So we've read out of chapter 31, we've read out of chapter 33, but between those two chapters, chapter 32 records a song that God gave Moses. Moses listened to the voice of God, then he wrote down each word of this song carefully, then he gathered all the people of Israel together, and the Bible says that he spake the words of this song. By the way, he didn't sing it alone. I'll show you in chapter 32, if you will, in verse number 44, it says this, and Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Joshua, which is Joshua, the son of Nun. So I can see this old man who's written out this song, and he's gathered the Israelites together. Can you picture Moses? And he gets up and he says, now, Joshua, come up here. I wrote a song, and we're going to sing it. Can you see Joshua say, maybe we should have practiced this, you know. Say, Joshua, you just follow around long best you can. Here's the words. My voice is weak, so I'm going to need you to sing out. I can't keep the tune like I used to, so I'm going to need you to use the strength of your young voice to help me get the words out. Can you see this old man leaning against a younger man, and together they begin to sing this song? And I know the Bible says they spake it, and then there's other times the Bible infers that they sang it, but if you listen to the cadence of the songs that are still sung in the synagogues of Israel, they're kind of a in between speaking and singing anyway, and I could just see him kind of humming these songs and singing these songs and adding a little bit of a melody to the words as him and Joshua go through this. And I think somewhere in the middle of it, God got into it, you know, and God blessed it. Think about that. After Moses delivered this song, he then spoke to the people. I'm looking at the end of verse 32 now. We'll look at the song in a minute. Verse 45 of chapter 32, and Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel, and he said to them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, that ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. So Moses sings the song with Joshua, then Moses speaks those words I just read, and then God speaks to Moses. In verse 48, the Lord spake unto Moses that self same day, saying, get thee up to the mountain, to this mountain Abram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for possession. Watch this. And die in the mount whither thou goest up, be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Think about that. So he sings this song. He gives a few closing words. Then God steps in and says, Abraham, it's time. This morning I want to preach on this subject, an old man's death song, an old man's death song. these 2 weeks that we have, Christmas and New Year's, these 2 weeks, we at the Ross House try to get a lot of things done. They're kind of quiet weeks. We don't get a whole lot of quiet weeks. We do our family get together. We celebrate. We take a day. We pick a day and do it. The rest of the time, we get stuff done. One of the jobs that I've been putting off for some time is after Mom passed away and after all of us went through everything, there ended up being about 19 boxes left over of Mom and Dad's personal effects. And honestly, I think somehow these two right there conned me into taking them home with me. He didn't want to deal with them. She didn't want to deal with them. I think Bob and Kim had dealt with enough by that time, to be honest with you. They kind of took the lead on a lot of taking care of a lot of Mom's stuff for us. And so they got carried over into my truck. And then they got put on a high shelf stacked up in the shop, and they've been there for over a year now. And it's one of those things I keep looking at. And so when do you have time to go through all of these things? And so last Tuesday, I told my brothers and my sister, I said, I'm going to get 4 totes, large plastic totes. I'm going to lay them on the work table in my workshop where I go to do work. And I'm going to put those there. That's all, otherwise known as a pool table. But I'm going to put those totes there, and I'm going to go through 19 boxes that contain things of personal effects that have just gotten gathered, not only their things, but things of the generations before them that was passed down then through their parents and the parents before and keepsakes and pictures and... So 8 hours last Tuesday, 8 hours, I went through 19 boxes of Mom and Dad's personal effects, and I basically divided them up into 4 totes and, of course, pitched a lot of things that just needed to be pitched. And some parts of our family history we didn't want anybody to know about. We also threw that away and all of that. Some things are under the blood, amen? And think about that. In those 19 boxes were things collected from 7 generations. My generation, 2 generations that have followed me, 4 generations that went before me. Most of what was in the boxes were artifacts and letters and pictures from the 4 previous generations. By the way, several times I wish I could have stepped from the present into one of those pictures to ask a question. Stepped from the present of those pictures just to shake a hand or to give a hug or to say, why is this going on? Or where was this at? Or who exactly is this you're talking to? Would have loved to have been able to do that. I could not do any of those things, by the way, but I could, as I went through these things, I could look and I could listen to the voice of the Lord. And you know what? By the time I went through all of that, I found myself wishing for simpler times. I found myself wishing for a different America. I found myself longing for a more godly time. A more sane time in our nation's history. I looked into the eyes of those in each picture and I listened for their song. By the way, for every life composes a symphony, and everyone, while they're here, whether they know it or not, is writing a song that will be sung, a song that will be passed down to the next generation. This morning, I want to look at an old man's death song. By the way, a man who predated America, predated much of human history. The death song of a man of God, who was used to write the first 5 books of the Bible, the song given to Moses, who God called his friend. You know what? You can take this song, you can break it down very simply. If there's probably 3 main stanzas. Number 1, Moses left behind a song that testified of the greatness of God. You know what I thought to myself? If there's a first stanza in the song of my life, it ought to be a stanza, it ought to be a verse that lifts up God and glorifies God and reminds people of how great God is. He says in verse 1, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. He goes on and he says, verse 3, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God, for he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. You know what? Moses wanted those coming behind him to know some things about his God. So Moses published the name of the Lord. I don't think you can think about Moses without thinking about God. I mean that. I think when the name Moses comes up, you cannot talk very long about Moses without bringing God into the conversation. All of us are writing a song. What will your song leave behind? Moses published the name of the Lord. Moses ascribed greatness to God. You know, folks, I feel like sometimes as a preacher, I come up and I preach a message, and maybe it's because I sense some things, or I see some things, or I've heard some things, but every once in a while, I just feel like, as a pastor, you come in, you hit a reset button. I can't stand by and let people say things or feel things or think things about God that simply are not true. And we've got to be careful, folks, that we do not diminish in the eyes of our children and our grandchildren the greatness of God. When something goes wrong, don't you blame God. Don't you belittle God. Don't you accuse God of evil. You know what your children ought to think of when they think about you and your relationship with God? Grandma thought God was the greatest. Grandpa thought God was the greatest. And we've got to be careful, folks. I mean this. Because if things go wrong in our lives and we are walking around bitter against God, that bitterness will reach down and infect the hearts of our children and our grandchildren. Moses ascribed greatness to God. Moses told them that God would be there. He would be their rock. You can count on him. Moses reminded them that God's work is perfect and his ways are right. You will not always understand his ways or agree with his judgments, but that's where trust comes in. That's where faith comes in, because his works are perfect and his ways are right. Moses reminded them of God's character. He said this, he is truth. He is without iniquity. He is just and he is right. What can we learn from this? Your children and your grandchildren need you to leave them a proper and biblical picture of who God is. I want to say this again. I want to read this. I wrote it out. I want to read it. Be careful that you have not planted seeds of doubts into the minds of your children and your grandchildren concerning the character of God. That you've not shaken their faith in God because of your response to God's working in your life. Be careful not to question God's goodness ever, to cast doubt upon his character ever. Do not pass down a spirit of bitterness towards God. Let them know this, God is great. God is a rock. God's word is perfect. God's ways are right. God's is truth. He is without iniquity. He is just and he is right. And that's the first stanza of Moses' song. Second stanza, Moses left behind a song that pleaded with them to consider their history. Isn't that interesting? He wanted to address the present generation and tell them, if you're not careful, you're going to make a mistake. You're going to look around at what's going on now and assume that's the way it's always been. You're going to look around at what's going on now, watch this, and assume it's normal. And to insulate us from that, he says this. Look at verse 7. Remember the days of old. Consider, watch this, not just your generation. Well, young people, you got to be careful of this. Consider the years of what? Many generations. Ask thy father. Notice that it doesn't say that your dad ought to come find you and set you down and lecture you about it. You know what, folks? We need a new generation understands. If you want wisdom, you've got to go seek it. If you want counsel, you've got to go seek it. Listen, it's not my job to chase down everybody in this church. When I see that you're going to make a mistake and you haven't even taken the time to stop by and talk to the preacher, it's not my job to chase you down. If you haven't asked, I assume you don't want it. But I'm telling you, your father knows things you need to sit down and listen to and learn from. Not only that, it goes on to say that you, the elders, ask thy father, he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. Moses warned them of the danger of judging what is right and wrong by just looking at their own generation. He warned them not to judge normalcy by looking at just the present. Boy, wouldn't that be scary if our young people decided to do that? How do they protect themselves from that? He exhorted them to read history, to remember the days of old. He told them to consider the years of many generations. Young people, listen to me. Grandma and grandpa have something to offer you. Go get it before it's gone.
That's right.
Sit down and listen to them.
Amen.
They know of an America that you don't know of. They know of a normalcy that you have never seen. Don't turn your ears away from the older people, from the generations that came before you. He told them to seek out the elders of their land to listen what they have to say. What he was telling them was this. There are some things, some beliefs, some facts, some sacred truths, watch this, that can be lost when a new generation arises. Don't let your generation be the one that drops the ball. Boy, I think we need to say this. All of us need to hear it. The world did not begin the day you were born, and it will not end the day you die. Many have come before you. And if Christ delays his return, folks, many will follow after. Every generation needs to view themselves as the caretakers of the wisdom and experiences of the previous generations. If we fail in this, we not only fail ourselves, but we fail our children and their children. Let's say some things plain. If I was born in this generation, if I was 16, 18, 20 years of age, and I looked around and I only considered this generation, I'd think homosexuality is normal. And it's not. It's a wicked sin and a wicked abomination before God. It's not wrong to call perverts perverts, by the way. I think that cheating in national elections was normal. I think cohabitation before marriage was normal. If I only considered this generation, if I was a young man and I only considered this generation, that's what I would think. By the way, I'm not mad at young people that think this. They don't go to church. They don't have a Bible basis. They don't talk to grandma and grandpa. They think they know it all. They don't listen to older folks. No wonder they believe these things. If I only considered this generation, I think cross-dressing was normal. I think demanding your rights was normal. And by the way, if demanding them don't work, then you know what you do? You burn, you riot, you loot, you destroy until somebody gives you your rights. That's normal. I think selfishness was normal. I think immodesty was normal. I think unfaithfulness to God was normal. I think working on Sundays was normal. I would think that Sunday as fun day was normal. I think corruption in politics was normal. If all I had to gauge normalcy was looking around at my own generation, these are what I would believe was normal. I think killing unborn babies was normal. I think using the name of Jesus Christ as a curse word was normal. I think rebellion was normal. I think laziness was normal. Watch this. I think not working and expecting a check from the government was normal. But you know what Moses is doing? He's standing at the end of his life and he's singing his death song. And he's looking at the eyes of some young people and he's saying, you need to sit down and listen to your fathers. You need to seek out the elders.
Come on.
Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Don't look at just what's going on. Look back at what came before. We've all but lost And as sad are depression era saints. We've all but lost them. The chance to sit down and talk to someone who was raised during the Depression. I mean, really old enough to have solid memories of it. They're few and far between. We've all but lost our World War II era soldiers and soldiers' wives. That's true, folks. We've all but lost the greatest generation. We've all but lost a generation where masculinity was prized and femininity was revered. You know what Moses is saying? Hey, read your history. And by the way, you're going to have to even go back to find books written about America. Come on, don't go buy a new one. Books written before a nation decided to vilify their heroes and canonize perverts. Books written before a nation decided to erase the truth and propagate lies. Go back and find the writings of our fathers and our elders and learn what America truly is. Moses left behind a song that pleaded with them to consider their history. Moses warned them of the danger of judging what is right and wrong by just looking at their own generation. Moses told them to remember the history of their salvation as a nation. That we would not even be able to be here if it were not that God made Adam. This is what we read in this portion of scripture. We wouldn't even be here if God didn't make Adam. He told them to reread Genesis, to learn the laws of first mention, to see the workings of God in those opening generations, to understand, by the way, why God had to divide the nations and confound the languages, to understand how God then eventually selected an unlikely people to be his own, how God then had blessed them with spiritual heritage. Verse 10, he found them in a desert land in the waste, howling wilderness. He led them about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Moses said, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget what God did. Don't forget the privileges that came with that. Let's apply it to us. Let me ask you this. When did God move into your life? When did God change your heart? When did God change the direction of your family, your family's destiny? That story should not be lost. It should be cherished. It should be published. It should be recounted. It should be passed down. Many of the pictures that I went through in those 19 boxes, you know what they were? They were pictures of my spiritual heritage. Pictures of the church my dad attended as a boy. Pictures of the church my dad got saved in when he was in his 20s. A picture of the creek and the sandbar where mom and dad were baptized. Come on, pictures of my dad surrendering to preach. Bulletins announcing my dad's first handful of sermons in the Trinity Baptist Church as Felix Griffith led him preach for the first time. Are you listening to me? Every life sings a song. Every life sings a song. When I look at those pictures, I can hear the words of my dad because it wasn't just pictures. It was evidence that the stories that he shared were true stories. I didn't have to wait till I opened the tote to find out that my dad was a born-again Christian. Amen. You know what he did? He passed down a spiritual heritage. He passed down his salvation story. He wasn't ashamed of it. He was more than happy to tell people about it. He wanted us to know about it. He wanted us to embrace it. He wanted us to accept Christ. He wanted us to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his heart's desire. Amen. Pictures of God. Pictures in that box of him pastoring the first church he ever pastored. And pictures of the first few services of the church that you sat in now in the early days. Started in a man's living room back in 1973. Pictures of serving God, pictures of driving buses, pictures of soul winning. Come on now, pictures of building projects, pictures of men, now all of them in heaven, standing beside shovels getting ready to break the ground for a brand new church or a new church addition. What I'm saying is, young people, listen to me. I'm not upset with you. You can't know what you weren't here to see, but you can talk to the ones who were here. I think our 50th anniversary is very important for this time in our church's life. I think when we arrive at this milestone, this 50th anniversary, there's going to be a generation that's going to come up. And if they're not careful, they are only going to consider their generation. and what they think this church needs to be for their generation and their children's generation. Well, you will make that decision. But before you do, could I get you to at least consider the generations, many generations, the elders and the fathers? Amen. Could I have you not forget that somebody came before you?
Right.
Moses, he sang this song, the second stanza, he pleaded with them to consider their history. He pleaded with them to not judge what is right and wrong by just considering what's going on now. He told them to remember the history of their salvation. He told them to remember the blessings that came with living in obedience to God. And he chronicles this in verse 11 and 10, 11 and 12 and 13 and 14. He said, when we obeyed God, God bore us on his wings like an eagle. When we followed God, he led us through the wilderness. God made our habitation, the high places of the earth, verse 13. God blessed us with daily blessings and abundant provisions. He said, listen, when we obeyed God and followed him, things were good. All right, so now we're getting ready for the third stanza. The first one, God is great. Let's talk about how great he is. Number two, God saved us and chose us and redirected the entire life and lives of a nation. Let's remember that. Let's honor that. Let's study that. And by the way, you know what? Let's preserve that. Verse number three. And this is the entire rest of the song. Moses left behind a song that warned of the consequences of the coming apostasy. The entire rest of the song then chronicles the failure of their fathers in following and honoring their godly heritage at times. It's down from verse number 15, down through verse number 26, verse 16. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they to him, they him to anger. They sacrificed unto the devils, not to God, to little g gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat them, thou art unmindful and has forgotten God that formed thee. And folks, I can't go through the whole rest of the song, but I mean from this point on down, he's pleading with them. He's reminding them it's been tried in the past. Not always have we worked with, served God. Not always have we worshiped God. Not always have we followed God. Watch when there was a group here or a group there that branched away and decided to go against it and decided to find a new way and get away from the book. And you know what happened to them? Study your history. Because good things happen when you stay in obedience to God. And terrible judgments come when you walk away and live in disobedience to God. Does the Bible warn of apostasy in the last days? First of all, preacher, what is apostasy? What do you mean by that? A total desertion. This is what it is. A total desertion or a departure from one's religion, principles, or core beliefs. Young people, you need to be faithful. You need to be faithful. You need to carry on the faith handed down to you by your parents. You need to be true to your Savior. You need to be faithful to the church. You need to be that man who will stand in the gap, make up the hedge before God in our land. We need a new surge of young, patriotic, dedicated, separated Christian young people who will wholly and fully declare themselves as soldiers of the cross.
Amen.
Why? Because we're living in the last days. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. They know how to play the game, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And folks, it's coming, it's here. But you can be the exception.
Yes, amen.
1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. It's going to happen. But you can be the exception.
Amen.
2 Timothy 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, as a judge, the quick and the dead, at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Wait a minute. But you can be the exception. But watch now, in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of the ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Here we are at the end of the message where we started at the beginning, but a different person. This is Paul's death song. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Here's the song, God is great. Here's the second stanza. Listen, don't forget what he's done for you. Don't forget what he's done for your family. Don't forget the salvation that he's brought. Here's the last verse, and it's a verse of warning. Don't walk away from it. Don't turn your back on it. There's nothing that will come. There's no good that will come into your life as a result of leaving God's perfect will. In every generation, by the way, there's a falling away now. There's apostasy now. It happening all over the country. But I want to say this. In every generation, there's always been a remnant. Be the exception. There's always the faithful, so be the exception. Even in the midst of apostasy, there's always those that are steadfast, so be the exception. There are always the immovable, so why don't you just be the exception? There are those who spend, always going to be those who spend their lives abounding in the work of the Lord. Be faithful, be faithful, be faithful to the end. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would take the words of this message, Lord, and pray, dear God, that you would drive them deep into our hearts. Lord, make us mindful. Lord, thank you for Moses. Thank you for a life that was lived in such a way where he could sing such a song at the end of his life and it did not come across as hypocrisy. Thank you for a young Joshua that stood beside an old man and sang the words to his songs that God had given him. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would bless each and every one of us. Help us to look right now at the song that our life is composing. Honest truth is, Lord, everything we've done, everything we've accomplished, every remembrance of our lives will one day end up in a handful of boxes. And they're going to compose a song. When our children and our grandchildren, when they go through the boxes and as they listen to the song, may it be a song that glorifies you. May it be a song that is thankful for the salvation that you gave them, that you gave us. May it be a song that speaks of the goodness of God and blessings of God upon a life of obedience. And Lord, may it also be a song that warns those that follow us not to be a part of the apostasy. We pray these things in Jesus' name.